You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. Yeah, commuting sucks. But these guys don't.
What is his order at McDonald's? Honestly.
We should have asked him all this stuff.
Why are we like...
What are we doing afterwards? This is like the pre-show prep, only after the interview. Exactly.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. Noodles is calling an Ottawa Senators game tonight. Ottawa's actually started better than I thought they would. They beat up on L.A. on Saturday. And the Leafs are in action tonight with the Kings in town. And the Kings are looking for a bounce back. And L.A. has always played the Leafs pretty tough. And the Leafs are coming off a great road trip, 4-0. They're 5-1 on the season. Matthews, 2 points a night. It's a lock. Morgan Rielly had another point on Saturday night. They got some secondary scoring. Kapanen with two. Levo, Par Lindholm. So they are feeling it right now. And tonight's going to be a big test because they're back home. It's Monday night. Scotiabank Arena will not be rocking on a Monday night. The Kings are looking for a bounce back, and Garrett Sparks is in net. So they got the backup in net. And you got your way, or you wanted this. You wanted them to get a game before November 10th.
And you can't just let a guy, if you're going to send a message saying, okay, you made the team, you're in the NHL, but, I mean, Noodles talked about some of his layoffs. Weren't some of them like 2 months?
For McElhinney?
No, for Noodles.
For himself.
Noodles would go a month and a half and just breeze through a month and a half without even playing. Not even mop-up duty.
No, just shattered every night and just doing nothing. And then he'd be thrown in a month and a half. You can't do that. It doesn't work nowadays. But I thought it was going to be Detroit because I thought, you know what, you don't want to insult your opposition by thinking, oh, Detroit's not that good. We're going to throw Sparks in there. But I thought that was going to be his game. Just to say, you know what, you're on the team, you're a part of the team, you made the team, and you're not going to sit and rot, and you got to get back in there. But Freddie Anderson, 3 games on the road, okay, let's see what you got.
I hope for Sparks' sake he plays well. I mean,
Well, Carlo said it best this morning. He's like, he's got to prove to his teammates that they can trust him to go into the net, and that's bang on.
That's right.
Prove to your teammates that you can actually play and get the job done.
I think the bigger one is Babcock.
Well, no kidding.
Just based on like what happened before, and it was, they were a bad team, they were the worst team in the league, but like that's in his first impression, you know what I mean?
You're talking about Jonas.
15, 16. No,
Jonas,
no, no.
Enroth.
No. I'm talking about when Sparks played for the Leafs, 15, 16, played 17 games and had like a .893 save percentage. Now, granted, it was in front of the worst team in the league, but you're the coach. Like, that's the first you see of this guy. He does amazing with the Marlies, but like, I haven't seen him do that in the NHL. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. First impressions count for something.
Especially for him.
Yes. And for your backup, where every coach in the league is a little bit anxious anyway.
You just mentioned Enroth, or you did.
Yeah.
It was 6 starts for that guy, and it was out the door. Like, no way. But the thing with this guy is, who else is there?
Well, they don't have anybody else.
There's no other options.
They really do not have anybody else. So even if Sparks is brutal tonight, it's not like he's in the Marlies tomorrow. I mean, he is the backup goalie for the foreseeable future.
We should mention that Eamon McAdam is on their roster for some reason, which is weird.
That maybe Freddie Anderson, something's going on with him. Is he sick? Is he banged up? I don't know. I mean, that is strange that guy
was playing for the Growlers in Newfoundland. And the Marlies don't play again until Friday. So like,
yeah, it is weird. It's a make-a-wish moment. You get to practice with the team.
Come sit on the bench.
We didn't bring up the Lars Eller comments from Saturday night in the first hour. But if you missed it, Lars Eller of the Capitals was asked about the Maple Leafs after the game. And the Leafs won the game. And it was a fun game, back-and-forth game. And Eller said, quote, "We were just playing against Crosby and Malkin, so everything kind of drops off from there. It's not that special, to be honest. It's a good team like a lot of others. They'll probably be a playoff team, I would think," end quote.
Well, who's this guy now? He's a hero now?
Larry Eller,
barely hanging on with the Montreal Canadiens, is a third-line centerman for the Washington Capitals, and he's piping off? Not buying it. Sorry, bud.
Do you think he was just like ticked off from the game and he's just
like,
this
team's
not that
good? No, he's just trying to be a hero. He scored the game-winning goal to win the Stanley Cup, and now he's a hero piping off like that. You know what, Ovi, if you want to say something, Kuznetsov, Holtby, sorry, Larry Eller. I'm not buying it. Like, just shut up.
I think there is actually a deeper kind of meaning behind this.
Which is what?
Well, I think, quite frankly, the rest of the league is already sick and tired of the Leafs. I think that's a part of it. It's like the rest of the country up here. I think Larry Eller is sitting there saying, wait a minute, we just won the Stanley Cup, and you're asking me about the other team on the other side, and you're asking me in a way that you want me to say, oh, they're just incredible, they're so great. I think there's frustration.
Okay, then you take the high road and say, you know what, they got some good players, they have a great chance to say that.
Yeah, but I also think you got to take into consideration here, Eller's been in the league for a while. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are the most respected duo in the league, and they deserve to be. They've been torching the NHL for 10 years. They're future Hall of Famers. They're both top 100 players of all time. They've won 3 cups. They've been to 4 finals. We know the resume. Beyond that, it's Taves and Kane. Same thing. Future Hall of Famers, torched the league for a decade, 3 cups. So I think what Eller is saying here, in a way, dude, you want to ask me about Crosby and Malkin and Taves and Kane? Until Matthews and even Tavares actually does some damage in the spring, I'm not going to pump their tires. And quite frankly, I can understand that. Like, is it a petty comment? In a way, yes. I think it's off base. They're not just like any other team in the league. They're loaded with talent. Eller knows that. But I think this is about him saying, I'm not going to give Austin Matthews, you know, all this publicity right now. What have you done in the spring? Last time I watched you in the spring, you were brutal. And quite frankly, Matthews, again, he's played great right now in October. In April, he didn't play that well. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, what did you make of the Lars Eller comments from Saturday night?
Well, I kind of like anytime somebody says something out of the norm, because it's just different. And I'm like, oh, that kind of surprised me. You know, I talked to him quite a few times in the finals last year, and was actually quite impressed with the way he is. He's a pretty upfront guy. I thought he was pretty honest. You know how much I hate to agree with you, Brian. Like, it really bugs me. But I agree with you here that last week Austin Matthews was asked about what he's learning from John Tavares, and he said, well, you've asked me 30 times before. Look up one of the other answers. Kind of the same. I mean, it's different, but it's the same thing. He's like, I don't want to answer that question anymore. Sure, Eller could have answered it differently, but why does he have to say, I don't know, he could have done a Bill Belichick and said, no, I don't talk about the other team. And it's fine when Belichick does it. He just said, yeah, they're pretty good. Like, he knows they're better than that, but I didn't have much problem with it at all.
No, I think, again, he's paying homage to Crosby and Malkin, who, when you think of the powerhouses in the league, like, Eller's not a rookie. He's been in the league for a long time. You'd be surprised how long he's been in the league. And I think he's like, I'm not pumping the tires of Matthews and Marner.
Well, like, especially after you lost.
Yeah, but even if they hadn't lost, I think he's like, do something in the spring, which is a reality. Like, we have to remind ourselves of that here in Toronto. We're all on the hype train, and believe me, I am the conductor of it, but they haven't done anything in the spring, you know. And this has come up sometimes with the Nylander contract negotiation. It's like, you guys haven't done anything in the spring. Like, I think they will. I have high hopes. I think they win a round or two this year. I wouldn't be shocked if they go to a cup final and even win it. I'm not bracing myself for it, but they've played 13 playoff games in 2 years. They haven't won a round. So you're not going to gain the ultimate respect from veterans in the league until you really do something in the spring.
I never really liked talking about the other guys. Like, I don't know. You can tell, like, first of all, the reporters that cover your team all the time. So somebody different is there. You probably got a pretty good guess that they're from the other city. I mean, where else are they going to be from? And you probably smell out what type of story is being written, and do you really want to contribute to it? Is really the crux of it, and it's pretty clear he didn't. He wasn't interested in joining the party.
Yep.
But guys know, like, oh, you must have known. Well, like, when you were doing an interview somewhere that you're like, wait a minute, this guy's from somewhere else, and he's looking for an angle I'm not quite comfortable at.
Well, yeah, I played in Carolina, and not too many people came at any angle. It was just, oh, yeah, you guys are in town. That was basically all I dealt with. Like, there was no angles, there was no stories they wanted from anybody from our team.
Well, that Matthews comment about Tavares that you just mentioned, that was Craig Custance in Detroit, right?
Frederick Anderson. Right. By the way, the Leafs just posted something. Day to day with a knee injury. Sorry, Ray.
Okay, well, let's get to that story because it's much more important than Craig Custance, with all due respect. So that's why Iman McAdam is up tonight and Garrett Sparks is playing. It's probably not because it was some philosophical change within the organization. It's that Freddie Anderson is listed as day-to-day. So, you know, is that day-to-day, like, real-world day-to-day, or is this the Maple Leaf day-to-day where it's actually 2 weeks?
Well, you know, it depends. It's too bad we haven't got Babs' comments on it because, you know, day-to-day usually means a week.
Yeah.
Actually means 10 days.
Is it 10 days? Is that what the line is?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've gotten that a few times.
But, man, it's funny, though, like, even though, like, you know, hopefully it's a minor tweak or whatever, that all of a sudden you can go down a little path here and go, what if it was longer? There's not a whole lot of goaltending depth left.
Well, and it's funny that, like, it happens, none. Like, right after they lose McElhinney, they lose Pickard, and, like, right now.
Well, let's be honest. Garrett Sparks and Iman McAdam is miles behind the 30th worst duo in the league.
Well, but, like, they went the whole worst year duo last year with nothing.
Yes.
And they had four guys.
That's a mediocre duo in the American League. Like, that, like, with all the respect, I don't even know who this Iman McAdam is.
I don't either.
I have no idea who he is.
I've never heard of the guy.
He's who they got back in the Matt Martin trade.
Great.
Great. So, Garrett Sparks, here's your opportunity, man. Here it is. You know, to put a glass half full spin on it, let's see what he's got. Because if it's day-to-day in the Leafs world, that means he's playing Thursday, and guess who's in town? Pittsburgh is rolling through.
And then St. Louis.
And
is
you want to talk
Saturday.
About tension and pressure? As soon as this goes over the waiver wire, these guys all follow. I mean, they might be having an afternoon nap. They're probably down at the rink right now. But as soon as that goes through the Twitter
sphere,
you're, as a goaltender, if you're Garrett Sparks, you're like, okay. This is like a big moment for his tenure as a Toronto Maple Leaf. And he's the backup.
Well, this is what we were saying throughout camp. I kept referencing it, that he's going to be a net for upwards of 40 to 50 points being on the line. Now, he's not responsible for those 40 to 50 points, but those are big games. You know, that's 20 to 25 starts. Now, he might get more if Freddie's hurt. That can be the difference between getting in. It can be the difference between home ice. It can be the difference between the top seed. Like, this is why we talked about the backup goaltender as much as we did, because of tonight. It's Garrett Sparks against the LA Kings. It could be Garrett Sparks against Pittsburgh on Thursday. We'll see what he's got.
If one of the reasons that Babcock would have been in the McElhinney camp, it would have been that he trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to build trust, here's a good chance for you. Play well tonight, and he'll trust you more. Because the fact that they won the Calder Cup really doesn't build, and he was goalie of the year, doesn't build much trust with Babcock because he can't see it. It's not in his eyes, right? He wants to. The only way you get trust is to play well right in front of the guy that you're trying to impress.
Has Vancouver recovered from Mike Matheson being the worst person on the planet? And
are you kidding me?
They're freaking, aren't they?
Oh, they asked me on Ottawa radio what suspension would satisfy the fan base.
Come on.
And I said 172 games.
Lifetime ban. Pete Rose, like, his ass.
Like, he is. I'll tell you what this reminded me of a little bit. Remember when McDavid fractured his collarbone?
Mm-hmm.
And he went through the defense, and I want to say it was Brandon Manning. I might be wrong, but Manning took him, and they said, did he drive him in harder, or did he, you know, no, he hit the boards and he broke his collarbone. But remember all the discussion around that? It's the same here. Like, did Matheson target him? Did he try to injure him? Did he, you know, as far as targeting him, he got beat on the one side, and then the puck went behind the net to the other corner, and he went back to the front of the net. That's where he's supposed to go. Then the puck went behind the net, and he jammed a stick through his legs and finished his check. I still don't have a problem with anything. But where the problem is that he picked him up and slammed him into the ice.
But, Ray, don't you think, like, I hit, when I was at my best, I hit a lot. And sometimes you get a kid or a skinny defenseman where you make that contact and they go airborne. And it's almost like when they do, it's like, okay, get away from me, get off of me, and they get thrown to the ice. It just seems like a situation where this kid was outmatched physically, and it went ugly.
I don't deny that, or I don't argue that at all. I mean, Peterson, he wants to say his name, Peterson. He's 162 pounds, man.
No kidding.
You know, Mike Matheson weighs 205 pounds, and I saw the quote from his agent, Kent Hughes, saying he was surprised at how easily he was able to lift him up. So, again, like last week we were talking and I said, it's not a perfect game and people want it to be perfect, and it isn't. If they gave him two games, I'd think it was way too heavy. If they gave him one, I'd go, all right, I guess.
No, it's not a suspension. I'm sorry.
But if he doesn't get hurt, nobody even blinks at
No,
him.
Nothing. That's right. That's right. You know what? Actually, I was thinking about that. That McDavid example is a great one. I hadn't thought of that. But, you know, Peterson is a guy. He's a great story. And I understand why they're furious in Vancouver, because he's the guy. Everyone's so excited. I would be too. But remember, was it last year or the year before when at the ACC, Leo Komarov picked up Drew Doughty and threw, like it was, I can't remember. It was Doughty for sure and Komarov. It might have been the roles were reversed, but it was right at center ice in the neutral zone. Someone picked up someone else and threw him. And the other guy got up and chased the other guy around. I think it was Komarov on Doughty. And I remember thinking, wow, that was pretty crazy. Like, I can't believe he could pull that move off. But because the guy got up and chased him and whatever, we just moved on with our life. We didn't even think twice about it. But it was like a choke slam, a body slam kind of thing, where it was a guy exerting strength. And, you know, I think the fear here for me, Ray, is the slippery slope of suspensions based on the result and the injury. Because there are a lot of things. You can't do it that way, right?
But that's
right?
What they've always done.
No, they've claimed that they don't.
Well, but they do.
But Jonas, you're, in a way, Jonas is right here. Because there are times when a guy will do something, nobody gets hurt, and it's fine. I've always thought you suspend the act, not the result. If it's a stupid play, suspend the guy. If it's a stupid play but nobody got hurt, suspend the guy. If it's an okay play and a guy got hurt, you don't suspend him. Yet it seems to be a little bit tipped upside down here. Like, I'm really curious because there is, what they're going to decide here. I'm curious most of the time, but I'm really curious here because there's such a wide range. Every time I read something, it's either send him to the electric chair or it's nothing.
No kidding.
Like, nobody seems to have any sense of where this is or what it is.
Well, I think it's because there's a fight. You know, there's a fight for what the game should be and what should stand and what should be acceptable. And everything, it's very toxic right now. And everyone's, you know, it's like the political landscape. Like, you're either on one side or the other. You pick a team.
Yeah, and it's a war if you have a different view of it.
Yeah, and it's really, it's become very, very extreme. And this isn't even a, the fact that he's concussed makes it obviously much deeper and much more difficult to accept if you're a Canucks fan or just a hockey fan. I mean, Peterson has been one of the top four or five stories in the NHL this year. He's been great. No one wants to see it happen. That goes without saying. But if this triggers you to a point where you're like, I can't believe this is the game. I can't accept this anymore. Wow. I said in the previous hour, Ray, how did you become a fan in the 70s and 80s? You would have been in the fetal position for 30 years. Like, this really isn't that crazy. You know, it's a bad outcome, but it's really not that crazy.
Nothing.
You know? But it's
like,
just...
Now it seems like whenever anything happens, there's a group of people running downhill with their hair on fire. And the people on the other side are like, those guys are nuts. And they're like, no, those guys are nuts. And it's like, you don't even know sometimes what you're watching anymore. But I'm not this, you know, in Vancouver, part of the discussion here, guys, is, oh, will they go after Matheson on January 13th? No, they won't. And if they do, the game's not that way anymore. Somebody's going to get really whacked suspension-wise. Like, we've moved past what many of us grew up with. And if we don't like it, too bad, that's where it is now.
Well, that was another thing we touched on where I kind of sense, and I hate to generalize all Canucks fans, but that they aren't sure. They want to have it both ways. You know, they want the new school penalties, so Matheson has to get 10 games, but they want the old school team retribution because they want their team to start a line brawl.
Yeah, good. Branson has to kill him the next game.
Yeah, it's like, well, which one are you? Are you the proactive new age, this can't happen anymore, it's not Peterson's fault that he's 160 pounds and everyone gets to play and everyone should be granted safety on the ice, so throw the book, or is it the, okay, our guys will take care of it, old school type of retribution?
Brian, 2 weeks ago, Gudbranson in their home opener thumped Dylan Dubé. He didn't have the puck, and he fought Travis Hamonic and broke Hamonic's cheekbone.
Yeah, dummy.
Well, yeah, the next 3 days out here, the discussion was about the code, because, of course, nobody understands it, because it's not written down. Should he have fought him? Should Hamonic go back to defend him? It was like the other side of this same argument. And now it's, you know, just think, if it would be the same thing in Toronto, if it was Matthews, you know, it 100% would be the same thing.
Mm-hmm. People would be going crazy.
Yeah. And so I think the toughest part here is I can't even think of too many examples kind of similar to this. You always have, oh, that's a knee on knee hit, I saw that before. Or, oh, gee, that's an elbow to the head, I saw that before. Or, that's a bad slash, I've seen that before. I don't recall this, other than the example you gave, Brian. I don't think anything was wrong with the play at all until the very end. And then you can have a debate if you want. I think he's going to get something. I think he'll get a game. But if it's past that, I'll be surprised. And I will be surprised.
Yeah, I will be too. But, you know, there's a loud mob out there that are calling for it. And that, I think, can infiltrate the Department of Player Safety as well. I mean, I think it factors in. We'll find out tomorrow. We'll see how Sparks and the Leafs play tonight.
Question for Ray.
I know where you're going with this.
Showed up 8 minutes late today, Ray?
12.
Traffic?
Yeah. 12.
Was it 12?
Yeah. Closer to 12.
12 minutes, bad traffic. What would you say is more appropriate? A one-day suspension? Or doing a pregame for a Leaf game that I'm not supposed to be on?
Oh, not the one-day suspension.
What?
Well, wait. Ray, he was helping like an old lady on the side of the road. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And then did the dog eat your homework?
Yes. Yep.
Here's the thing. Oh, you can't be suspended. That's another day off.
Exactly, Ray. That would be...
Ray, everyone else gets suspended in life. Why don't I?
Because you suspend yourself?
No. I think someone should be told to stay home for a day to think about it.
No, because you talk about slippery slopes. Dude, you're going to show up a half an hour late tomorrow and take next week off. Like, it's just going to continue and continue and continue. The penalty is simple.
I hate to side with anybody here, but it's pretty easy to see where this could lead to.
Yes. Thank you, Ray. We all know what's going to happen.
He's gone for November.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a one-day suspension. Well, we're going to have a court. We're going to do
the Supreme Court.
Well, you're
Hayes
talking
is the
to
judge.
Him.
Oh, no. You know, I think you'd have to pull in, like, Gino to be the judge.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I'm too, like, connected to this whole thing. Maybe we do need to bring
in
somebody.
I think you need a longtime employee. It's got to be Gino.
We need like a Robert Mueller type. We need outside
Lloyd
counsel.
Robertson to come in here.
We should call up Lloyd.
Old Lloyd to come in here.
We need Lloyd Robertson in here. All right. Well, we'll let you know how that goes and other stuff in the NHL, and we'll tell you more at 5 tomorrow.
Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow, because you're not getting suspended tomorrow.
No, he's locked in tomorrow. You can bank on that.
I want a Friday suspension.
Don't say anything else. You're killing your case right now.
Exactly. not helping yourself. All right, Ray, we'll do it again tomorrow.
See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us every day at 5 p.m. We got to get into the story from Friday night. Did you hear about this guy down at the Ripley's Aquarium who geared down naked and jumped into one of the tanks and started swimming around?
Did he die? Like, what happened to the guy?
No, wasn't it a shark tank?
It was a shark tank. He's swimming around doing laps, and then he gets out. The security asks him to get out and leave, and he's like, I'm not leaving. He jumps back in. Starts doing more laps, gets out. They finally call the cops, but by the time the cops got there, the guy got out of there. He escaped. I want to know what kind of security is working, like Cheech and Chong are working down at the Ripley's Aquarium. What kind of aggression did they come with where he was like, no, I'm good, and he jumps back into the tank with sharks?
How did a shark not bite his nuts off?
I don't know. It's not like they have great whites down there. I've never
been. Like shark kibble, just pew, gone.
I'm sure they didn't think that this would be a big problem, like they would need a lot of security. No one's really jumping in.
No, no. It's like the zoo, right?
Right.
Like, there's no one, like, I'm going to jump into the gorilla pit.
Okay.
If you want to.
Well, guess what it's going to cost the...
What, the aquarium?
Security now, full time.
Well, I hope there aren't more idiots like this guy out there, but...
Are they going to take a chance? No way.
I don't know.
Hey, maybe. Sorry.
Go ahead, Jonas.
I found the hit you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't actually a hit. Basically, Komarov was just like hacking at Doughty. And Doughty goes at him and then like chases after him and like shoves him a few times. Imagine if like Komarov hits his face on the ground, knocks himself out. Imagine like what the suspension would have been versus nothing happens and he's fine.
Yeah.
It's like exactly to your point.
Yeah. Because he was, like, smashing him into the ice.
Yeah, like, he was, like, shoving him. Yeah.
Well, imagine if it was switched around.
Yeah,
yes.
Komarov. I couldn't remember who it was, but, yeah, if it was Komarov on Doughty
and
doing
Doughty,
that.
And Doughty gets knocked out, yeah. It's just, like...
People would be going crazy. But at the same time, I think people would be like, well, it's a battle between two guys that don't like each other, you know. Marcellus Wiley will join us on that incredible Sunday night or last night. Did you hear the story about Tyreek Hill as well when he caught that third touchdown of the game for him with 3 minutes left, the bomb... to tie it up, and then he runs like through the end zone into the crowd, and some idiot throws a beer on him. Some other idiot
what
gives
is that,
him the double
first time
bird.
We're talking about this?
Well, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said that they want to pursue like an arrest and a charge. I don't know how they're going to get to the bottom of that. But they have actually found out who the guy is, and Gillette Stadium has already issued a statement saying he's banned for life. Like, they know who the guy is. But we'll get into it more with Marcellus Wiley. And Marcellus will tell us stories, I'm sure, of his playing career where he had crazy stuff thrown at him, said to him. And we'll get his take on everything that went down yesterday. Marcellus Wiley will join us next. The Raptors home opener Wednesday night with Cleveland in town. TSN wants to have you witness Kawhi's official debut. Follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. Find a Raptors home opener giveaway post and tag who you would bring to the game. A winner will be announced tomorrow on First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo. We've got that Fisher-Price basketball net in here that the morning guys are talking about all the time. And they're always posting stuff on Instagram.
That you own?
I actually own it. And you're saying it. That's not me promoting it. Like,
no,
I'm not pumping my own tires. I guess Carlo thinks he owns it, and he posted on Instagram that he wants to challenge me. I will take him on anytime, any place, any day, anywhere. Any condition, anything on the line, it doesn't matter.
I'll put 10 grand on you. 10 shots each? I've got 10 grand on you.
Thank you. Flat money. All right, here's our longtime NFLer. NFL analyst with FS1 joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Marcellus Wiley. What's up, Marcellus?
Oh, I'm doing great. Who's giving away money like that? What's going on?
Well, we're winning money.
Well, our
man.
Guy here's a
winning.
Baller. He's a baller with a little, what is it called? A
Fisher-Price net.
Fisher-Price basketball net. He owns it.
Oh, one of those guys. Yeah. Doug Flutie. It's funny, we used to play basketball, and Doug Flutie's one of those guys. Like, no matter where you take him, what court, what hobby, game, he's just amazing at everything like that. I see it.
Yeah, that's basically me, only it's got to be like Fisher-Price. It's not real stuff, but if it's plastic and 3 feet tall, I'm in. We were hoping to go, you know, throwback with you, because I'm sure you've been talking about it all day and what happened last night in New England. The game itself was incredible, and we'll get to the details in a moment, but Tyreek Hill catches that touchdown, runs through the end zone, and fans at Gillette, some idiot throws a beer at him, another guy gives him the double bird. which is not the first time, won't be the last time it happens at the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. It happens everywhere. But this might be the first time Tyreek Hill and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, are issuing a statement, I believe through Adam Schefter, that they would like to see the police involved and this idiot prosecuted in some
way. Ultimately, though, Brian, what are you going to get out of this guy if you're a pro athlete? This guy might be Joe Blow that fixes cars. What are you looking for?
I don't know. Marcellus, can you answer that for us?
Yeah, I think that this is principle-based, and there's two principles in this world. There's the one with the L.E., and there's the one with the AL, and one is about money and others about standard. And it's interesting that we've all seen the malice in the palace and we've seen certain incidents happen. I've been on the field before in Philadelphia and they're throwing batteries at us. I've been places and they're throwing all kinds of objects and snowballs. And we only wait until there's injury before we really take issue and standard most of the times. So I think that in this situation, he's like, look, before this gets too far gone, and while it is a hot-button conversation, let's address this. And what he's talking about is that the NFL field, as much as we don't see it that way, is actually a workplace. And I'll be damned if I walked in someone's job and threw a beer on them and walked right out of that same job and nothing happened to me. So I get the mob mentality. I get that fans are invested, and I get that when you're with the boys and you had a little sauce, that things get a little out of hand. But these things need to be controlled, and they, more importantly, need to be handled from the top down so that players are not in this position going forward.
To the game itself, is that as good as it gets? I mean, there's offense. I don't think any defensive coordinator would have been thrilled with that game. But as far as entertainment, star power, that's as good as it gets as far as an NFL game goes, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm sure there's a purist out there who's like, that's not my brand of football. I want defensive struggle, and I prefer a 6-3 battle and contest, but not me. Let me see the scoreboard light up. I like the carnival image that it represents, that we're going to just go out there as gunslingers and throw this ball all around the field and see where it all lands and where it all falls. And we saw two great quarterbacks at different stages of their career, but certainly showing great attributes, whether it's Brady and his accuracy or it's Mahomes and his arm strength and how lethal he is, no matter where he is on the field. He can make unconventional look simple. And it's amazing to watch those two guys, one at the end and one at the beginning, still dealing at the top of their game and craft.
If you could have one quarterback for the rest of the year, just this season, who would you take, Brady or Mahomes?
For me to pause, that's the conversation. Like, I would contemplate it. For my money, I would take Mahomes simply because he is accurate enough, but more importantly, he can do the unscripted. And in today's game, there's such a value of being a 2.0 quarterback, someone who could get off script and still make plays happen. And as great as Brady is, he's one of the last Mohicans in that respect of staying in the pocket, pure pocket passer, beating you with his brain and his arm. Now you have to add the extra element, the mobility. And for that, I give Mahomes the slight nod. I know it sounds blasphemous, but I need my quarterback to be able to move.
What do you think Dak Prescott did yesterday? Did he kind of have a statement game, or was it a one-off, or is that the actual guy that he is? He's been criticized for the past few weeks. The team hasn't been playing well. Is that who the guy is, or is that just a one-off making a statement?
You know, I hate to damn a guy, but I think it's a one-off. If you think about what he did, 180 passing yards, 82 rushing yards, that formula is usually not successful for the quarterback. You need to go out there in today's inflated game with quarterbacks going for 300 yards on average. You need to throw at least 250. And that, even when the offense is rolling, it's still not the quarterback that can put up those great numbers. So if the new attack plan is to have Dak Prescott run the ball to set up his own passing, which sets up Zeke, I wouldn't go to that well too often. So I still think that they're trying to figure out a winning, consistent formula. and they haven't figured that out just yet.
With longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley, sticking with that game, I mean, the Cowboys put up big numbers, but the bigger story might have been who they put it up against, and that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's 2 weeks in a row. Collectively, the Jags have given up 70 points in the past 2 weeks, and Jalen Ramsey is an all-pro corner stud. Man, has he been talking a lot this year. And last night post-game, he had nothing to say.
I don't know.
He went mute. I mean, how do you feel about it, Marcellus? I mean, it's a guy who talks big when they're winning 13 games and going to AFC championship games and when GQ comes calling in the offseason. But you get spanked by Dak Prescott and you have nothing to say about it? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that is weak sauce, as we say. Like, if you give it, you got to be able to take it. And he certainly dishes it out, but it doesn't seem like he wants to consume much of it. And that same energy has to be going out and coming back in. So that's disappointing. Makes me think of you as more fraud or more showman than actually about that in terms of identity, and that's the way that you play the game. So a little disappointed in the persona of Jalen Ramsey. But this is a team that forgets that in success, the most difficult thing is to repeat it. And the most difficult thing is to redefine your goals and make sure that you go back to square one. Too many times in life, and especially in sports, when you taste success, you quickly start to feel better than you should. You quickly start to say you arrived. And those are not the moments where you should feel you arrived. Those are the moments you got to go back to the drawing board and now have a new plan of attack, because everyone else is going to attack you differently. And it's sad to see that Jacksonville as a collective, they haven't went back to that drawing board. And teams of late, Kansas City, Dallas, have caught them off guard.
Marcellus, what do you think John Gruden thought he was getting himself into in Oakland? Did he think he was going into a playoff team? I mean, Carr has been impressive in the past, not so much lately or last year. But it's a bit of a mess there, and for a guy that's on a 10-year contract paying him $10 million plus, it seems to be ugly very early for him.
Yeah, this is sad to see. This is a talented roster. 2 years ago, 12 wins. Last year, 6-10 and disappointing. But don't forget that they were close, and they felt that they were close when they had Derek Carr playing at a high level. And he's still, by the numbers, playing at a high number, but it's still something wrong with this team in terms of its motivation and construction. And John Gruden came in there, instead of it being a turnkey situation, he's gutted it. He's demoed the entire construction of this team. And it's kind of sad to watch, because you know that talent is being wasted under this umbrella in which John Gruden's trying to play this team forward. And 10 years is too long for a coach. You can't have a different schedule and calendar as my coach than I do as a player. I need to have your feet to the fire as well. So this construction, a lot of people are saying this is just a slow play to get them to Vegas and then explode. But that's moving the goalposts. At first, it was supposed to be a team that's trying to win in Oakland and then take that energy to Vegas. So I don't think they know which way is up in Oakland right now. And Gruden should be the guy on the hook for this. You should talk to Marquette King before you cut him. You should talk to Khalil Mack before you trade him away. And even though he's stockpiling draft picks, based on last year's draft, I'm not so sure if he knows how to draft in today's NFL. So a lot of question marks and very few things answered in Oakland.
Marcellus, quickly, is Todd Gurley the best back in the game?
When Le'Veon Bell comes back, I think he'll have a lot to say about that. But those two guys are certainly the cream of the crop. I'll take either one.
Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday.
Let's do it, guys. Take care.
Here's Marcellus Wiley of FS1, longtime NFLer, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals in the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%, MapleToyota.com.
I've always loved watching the backs, like just the dominant ones.
Well, Saquon Barkley's making a name for himself.
He is up in that conversation as well. And then I know, watch NFL Network today, and there's the debate who's the best back in the game. They touch the ball so many times, they impact the games, they're so dominant. This Gurley, though, he is just a monster.
He's a beast. Yeah, and he catches balls out of the flat.
They all like do now. They all do.
They all do, yeah. But he's a beast. Bell's a beast. Barkley's a beast. Zeke Elliott's a beast. There's a handful of backs in this league that can still do damage.
My guy was back in the day, Denver. Who was the back for Denver that won the Super Bowl with?
Terrell Davis?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was.
TD was money.
He was so sick.
He was money. John Elway.
Just hand it off like that.
Shannon Sharp, tight end.
Remember they had the little salute?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Back-to-back
We have a guest on the show. Welcome in the guest.
You were like on a roll. I didn't want to get in the way. I had some questions for Marcellus, but you were just fired up. So yeah.
Jonas, like myself, you deserve a one-day suspension.
For mailing in one segment. Jonas is in here. I'm Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. We're teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Darren Dreger will be in studio in the next hour. The hotline was exploding from a Bills fan about Jay Peterman throwing a pick six yesterday.
And you guys all have to get your questions in order. Mulls, do you have yours ready?
All right.
Al?
Yeah.
Fergie?
We're all good.
Ah, Fergie.
Fergie,
he doesn't care.
He's not going to stoop to this level. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
Just watched Mr. Jay Peterman throw away yet another game. I'm not too sure how that guy is still an NFL quarterback. I'm pretty sure just by the reactions at the end of that game, being in for two plays and throwing two picks, one being a pick six, that's just pretty much over.
The hotline's always open, 416-384-3877. We had to cut that guy's call off. He just was ranting for like 2 minutes about how bad Nathan Peterman was yesterday.
Well, Brian, he's not an NFL quarterback.
I know, but Allen
imagine
got
being
hurt.
His teammate saying, okay, our quarterback got hurt, that guy's going in. You're like, no.
Well, the pick six he threw was just...
There was two brutal interceptions that were just ridiculous. Their coach talked about it. Respecting the football? This guy has no idea what respecting the football is.
But I would call out McDermott, why are you throwing the ball in that position? It's a play for overtime. You know, you're deep in your own end. It's a tie game late. You're into your second stringer. You know Jay Peterman's brutal.
McDermott doesn't go out there and scramble around and throw the football across the field.
But he calls the plays. He told Jay Peterman.
Do you think calling those plays that he threw, like, across the field? Like, you know, when the quarterback's on the right side of the field and he goes across the... No,
it was awful. I'm not sticking up for Nathan Peterman. The guy's stats speak for itself.
But I'm just saying, if you're his teammate, you're thinking, get somebody else there.
Yeah, but I also think you're looking at your coach saying, how about we just feed, I don't care if you feed a fullback and just kill time and then get to overtime and see if you can win on a field goal. Because that's the only way you're going to win.
Yeah, because that guy can't play in the NFL.
Peterman is not going to do it for you. You know, Bill, and the Bills, it doesn't really matter now. They're 2-4. It's over. The Pats are gone. We fell for it again. The Pats were brutal the first few weeks. They got smoked on Monday night in Detroit. And look what's happened since. They dummied Miami. They won last week. They won last night against arguably the best team in the league. They're going to end up with 11 or 12 wins and win the division. And the Bills aren't. End of story. Analysis 101. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in studio in the next hour. Some Freddie Anderson news. If you missed it earlier, we'll tell you about it next.